Throughout the term, we will have many guest speakers, and you will be able to see who they are within the chapel card if you received one. Throughout term, there will be speakers speaking to different themes. One of the themes is spirituality in a digital age. One of the themes may just entail that person's passion or something they desire to share with the community within the chapel. And sometimes the speaker will speak to the lessons very particularly from that night, the lessons that will be read. Before I speak for a few minutes, not 45, even though I'm a Baptist, I'm going to keep it a little bit shorter tonight, I invite us to pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. During the course of my doctoral studies, I had the opportunity to give a 2-hour presentation on a particular figure in theology. And rather than going way, way back and finding someone in the 19th or 18th or even further back centuries, I was able to stop on a subject who is still alive. In the early 1960s, Hans Küng was an advisor to Pope John the 23rd, along with John Paul II and Benedict, during a time of reform within the Roman Catholic Church called Vatican II. Hans Küng later on fell out of favor with the Roman Catholic Church because of some of his controversial views on universalism, on engaging a dialogue, and sometimes even beyond dialogue with other faiths in the world. And so he lost the right to practice as a Roman Catholic priest, leading in the Mass and so forth. But he was so popular and such an influential thinker and writer of his time that the Roman Catholic Church was not able to forestall his continuing of teaching in Tübingen in Germany. I thought, well, what will this fellow ever have to say to me? But since I'm doing a project about him anyway at the Divinity College, I'm going to write an email to him. And I searched and I got past publishing managers and editors, and I finally got an email to Hans Küng. And he responded. I had asked him several questions about theology, which he refused to answer, merely hinting that there was another book coming out very shortly. Good marketing on his part. But he did something for me which has remained. And knowing of his trials and troubles and controversies in his life, when he finished the email in reply to me, he said, "Remember, Timothy, always confidence, courage, and compassion." In those three words, he encapsulated his own life, the good and the bad and the ugly, and he encapsulated, I think, some important words that can start us off into term. When I am in the orientation service every year, I always like to have three words that will begin for me my year as it starts in late August and early September, and to share those words with you and some insights that might help you out as well. And thankfully, without me doing any backwards bending and trying to fit it in a very difficult fashion, the lessons tonight have lent themselves to these three words: confidence, courage, and compassion. And in this beautiful Manning Memorial Chapel, I even have a visual assistance. No, I don't have PowerPoint, but I have a stained glass window. The first lesson. Let's go to this column on my left. 1, 2, 3 panels up. We see a picture of Moses. He doesn't look like Charlton Heston from the old movie, holding 2 tablets in his hands. The story of Moses where he's receiving the law from God. But he had a ways to go before he got there. You see, he had committed murder 40 years earlier, according to the story. He had run away, knowing his crime, being guilty of it, fearing punishment, and in fear he ran to his father-in-law's domain and became a shepherd and just had a quiet life and thought that that would be good. Until the encounter that we hear in the story from Exodus, he's out one day and he sees something that he's never seen before, a bush on fire, not being consumed, and then suddenly a voice speaking to him, and he's in front of the Creator, as far as he knows, being told, stop, go no further, you're on holy ground, take off your sandals. And it gets worse from there. Oh, and by the way, Moses, I have a job for you. You know, all of your relatives and people of your race back in Egypt, I'm sending you there to the most powerful person in the land, and I'm going to get you to be my agent for their release. Shepherd, murderer, person who had run away in fear. Now, understandably, humanly, Moses says, well, I can't do that. What? And God says, no, you can. Well, who are you? And God tells Moses, I am who I am. That's not Popeye, but the great I am. The letters in Hebrew, which Jewish people will not say out loud, called the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, is in one sense almost seen as a derivative of the verb to be that's particular only to one person, and that's the God speaking to Moses. One can understand how your own confidence might be shaken when given such a great task, to go into a land facing unknown terrors and dangers and not knowing if you even have the gifts to accomplish that. That was what was facing Moses that time. He was called upon to have a renewed inborn confidence. And as the story unfolds, apparently, he found that confidence with God's help. I remember many years ago working with a person who was my boss in Fredericton. I was working with about 50 or 60 other staff members. And in that place, I knew that I could do certain tasks, I could do certain jobs, but she was never letting up. She was relentless in always pushing her staff members to accomplish more. Even when I felt, oh, this is way out of my depth. I don't have experience with a language lab. I don't have experience with another aspect of teaching. But she would push and push. And she would understand the mistakes and say, learn from the mistakes and move on. And through it all, looking backwards, I could see she had confidence in me that allowed me to have confidence in myself, giving me the capacity to do more than I thought possible. Yesterday, I sat on the stage of matriculation with a bunch of first-year students wondering why there are robes on, and we're sitting on a hot August afternoon in a hall. But I saw more than that. I saw anticipation as I looked out. It felt good to feel that energy. I saw a little bit of trepidation, too. Wow, this is serious stuff. It's not summertime. I'm not looking to go there. I am here. And new commitments and new challenges are now just 1, 2, 3 days away from first day of classes. Can I do it? And hopefully what we all experienced, whether we've been at Acadia for a long time or it was our first day having just moved in, is the confidence that we can communicate to one another, finding in one another those areas, those capacities to do more than we thought would be possible, that together we would be able to do more than we could do on our own, which is what Moses finds out even in his journey. At one point, if you recall, he says, well, God, I'm not even a very good public speaker. How am I supposed to appear before Pharaoh when I can't even talk easily? And God says, I have confidence in you, and to help you, I'll give you the assistance of your brother who can speak on your behalf. God, again, provides, assures us a path that we can confidently address those challenges that will come to us in life. No, you nor I may be asked to go and liberate an entire nation from tyranny. But every day we will have the opportunity to battle those little tyrannies in life, the tyrannies that govern our own lives, the tyrannies that we may see around us, injustices, which Callie has mentioned that our awareness here locally will allow us to affect the world globally. Have confidence. Related to confidence, though, is that second word that Hans wrote to me, courage. This is where I move us to the center of the stained glass windows. And I move up to the middle panel again, just beside where Moses is, where Jesus is depicted teaching. It could be attributed to the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus' practice of teaching us and telling in stories and in parables, those things that we can apply to our life. That was one element of Jesus' ministry, to be sure. And the disciples would have been very happy if it had just remained there, that Jesus would have stayed with them, ministering throughout his life. But they find out something else. Jesus' call is one of self-sacrifice. Jesus' call is one of self-giving, even to the point of giving his life in the face of injustice, being arrested because he dared claim to be Messiah, or that was the arrest charge, the King of the Jews. Courageous in the face of injustice, courageous enough to turn the world and its expectations upside down, saying it's not just those rich, not just those successful people who are blessed by God. In fact, it's reverse. In fact, wherever you see somebody who is downtrodden, you are to find God's face there, Jesus' face there, as Mother Teresa would say. Jesus teaches us a different way, and it incorporates and necessitates the courage of the heart. Not a stupid courage, not one that doesn't think, but a courage to say, this might be a difficult place to speak up. I might become unpopular. I might not be following the status quo, but because of that Christ-like example of self-giving, we can find in ourselves the courage to reach out with hand, to speak out with mouth, to look with eyes that Christ teaches us. Eyes of Christ, the hand of Christ, the mouth of our Lord that teaches us to minister to others, especially when it's not convenient, especially when it's not necessarily safe to do so. Confidence, courage. We also heard something else. The letter that Paul writes to the Romans speaks of compassion. That is, not meeting a blow to the head with another blow to the head back. That not meeting persecution with more persecution. Instead, giving love where we might find hatred. We sang the song, which is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, which again, following Jesus' example, turns the world upside down. Contained within compassion is the word passion. We often speak during Easter of the passion of Jesus. Passion is equal to the word suffering. Sometimes showing compassion to others is going to require giving of ourselves even without the expectation that we're getting something back. Giving of ourselves because we have first received giving from God in life, in opportunity. And it's not easy, but it is possible. This year, I'm going to try to think every day as I get out of the car, or if, you know, I walk to work a little bit more, of those three words: confidence, courage, and compassion. Let me tell you something that I was considering on my way to chapel today. I realize that sometimes confidence, courage, and compassion requires us to think a little bit outside of the box, to think outside of the status quo. And as I came into the chapel, and it was empty at that point in time, and I hadn't yet gone to the rivers, but trying to open up the windows, I looked to the front, looked to the back, organ pipes, to all the spaces and places in which our history will unfold. Maybe it will be passing the chapel on the way to class. Maybe on a very cold wintry day, and you want a little bit of warmth between BAC and Huggins, you might even come into this place and sit down for a moment. And I realized that I had never, ever removed my shoes. Don't worry, I showered today, so my socks are fresh. And considered a new sensation of what it means to experience what could have been seen as mundane for a long time, but in the presence of the Holy. This is just a parable, unless you want to remove your shoes, you're welcome to do so. A way in which to interpret our relationship with God in new and different ways than what maybe we've already experienced before. Being in touch with that ground that is holy, being in touch with the experiences in a day-to-day life that is holy, in the dining hall, in the student union building, in the residences, perhaps on a walk, and a chance encounter. There are opportunities, my friends, over and over for us to experience the gifts of God, confidence, courage, and the capacity to show compassion. Let us pray.
Thank you, God, for the gifts that you give to us and one another, and for the opportunities that we shall have to live in community, to seek your will, and to make this world better by what we do, by what we are able to say, and how we can think. Thinking, saying, and doing things sometimes away from the norms of the world that set for us. Show us your way of peace, of justice, and of love. We pray in your holy name.